Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is someone who would never let his yacht crash into any dock whatsoever, Mr. Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
You know, I'd be crashing into every goddamn dock there ever was. I don't know how people park those things in the first place. I mean, Yeah. Geez.
Doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how boats park and planes fly, you know?
I just don't get it, okay? Some people were not meant to own yachts.
Nope, they were not.
It's totally my choice, guys. Totally my choice. I don't own a yacht. Okay.
You and Vicky Gunvalson never got the yacht. So, hi, guys. We are here today to talk Below Deck Sailing Yacht. It was a great episode. It was action-packed. There was drama. If you are wondering where our Top Chef episode was, it's on our Patreon bonus this week. We've just been rotating things around to make our schedule a little easier while we're overloaded with shows. So if you're looking for that recap, you can go to patreon.com/watchourcrappens. And I know this sounds super infomercially. It's not really supposed to sound like it, but like for literally as little as $1 a month, you can listen to those recaps and all the other bonus episodes. So, you can just find it there. Actually,
while you're at it, let me just add this. It is a little confusing, Patreon. So when you go over there, make sure you cap your amount. If you want the bonus, that's the $1 level. If you want the videos, which are a couple times a week, I would say go for that level because you can do the $5 level, cap it at one time a month. So you're paying $5 a month and you get all the videos and all the bonus episodes. I mean, you will be entertained for a year. Years upon years.
Yeah.
So that's my advice. If you want to go higher, you know what? We are certainly not going to kick you out of bed. That's for sure.
And we do thank all our premium and super premium sponsors. Always be sure to listen to the roll call because it's really cool that they support the podcast at that high level. We're not trying to be like an infomercial, but we also do want to let you know, there is a lot of content there and it's really easy. And I'm never going to tell someone that they have to spend money that if they can't spend it or whatever. But I do want people to be aware that it can actually be like absurdly cheap. It could literally be $1 for the entire month. So if you are feeling like you're missing out on recaps, they're just there. So go check that out. And today we have Below Deck Sailing Yacht. And Ronnie, I forgot to mention this yesterday during our Atlanta recap, but I felt it was important to show some personal growth on this topic. A few weeks ago, I reported that I found a caterpillar in my little balcony garden, and I threw it off the edge of the balcony. And it's something that has really stuck with people. People have been really mentioning it a lot. And today I found yesterday I found an inchworm in my mint, which is named Padmint Lakshmi. And instead of throwing it off the balcony and potentially into a power line, this time I carefully ushered it to the lawn outside the building. So
Wow, that is growth.
That is growth, right?
Now you're just kidnapping instead of murdering.
Well, now mafia I just put
style, so that's good. You know what? Baby steps.
Now I just put it in a very exposed place where a bird will probably come and swoop down and eat it to death. But that's natural.
Baby criminal steps. Okay.
I just want to show I'm trying to be a better human. Now, in terms of people who are not better humans, let's talk about some Below Deck Sailing Yacht, shall we?
Wow, what a day, y'all. Okay.
I have opinions.
Lot going down in sailing world. Lot is going down.
This is a significant episode. It's the first time that people actually called for Colin. The first time that people seem to have noticed Colin's on board. And of course he wasn't.
It was also, I think, the first time this entire season that we've gotten the GarageBand violins. Now, anybody who uses their iPad music app GarageBand, play the violin. Oh, I don't know if they have loops on that one or on your computer. Play the GarageBand loops. They love them on Bravo, especially the violins. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 bum bum dun 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 bum 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 bum.
You know, there was actually a moment during this episode where I said, Ronnie, I bet Ronnie loves this music right now. And it's in my note. And when it comes up, I'm going to mention it. But there was a moment I was like, oh, this music, I bet Ronnie loves it.
Yes, the orchestration this season is just above and beyond. And I do love it. You know, I just imagine some queen like me over there like, I want the violins. Bring them out. We've been holding them all season, boys. Bring them on.
Well, I look forward to the future RCA release of Yitzhak Perlman and the Below Deck Orchestra. It's going to be available.
Dun 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 dun.
Do your food.
Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun. So the episode opens up in the middle of a fight, sort of, because Sydney and Allie and Gary have finally decided that they are going to stop pretending. Well, not pretending, but Allie's stopping pretending that she cares about what Sydney thinks. And she's like, okay, I put in my time in terms of looking like a considerate friend. I've done enough of that. So now I will actually go after the guy who I've liked all this time. So she has. And now they're confronting Sydney because they want. She's like, let's hash it out. I want to hash it all out, Sydney.
Sydney, I've tried so hard to be respectful of you, but I'm sorry the chemistry we've had has grown into a relationship which grows into houses and then babies and divorce and then chain smoking alone in a bowling alley until I die alone and sad mouthing the wrong words to Patsy Cline in a government-run old folks home. How did we get here again?
We talked about this, I think, last week or whenever it was, about Allie doing all this stuff, saying, oh, I just feel so bad. She does all that, so that way, at this exact moment, she can say, I've tried to be so respectful to you. And she just was putting that all in a bank, and she's withdrawing it now. It's like, you know, I don't think you were trying to be respectful to her when you were making out right in front of her face, like multiple times over the course of the evening.
So this is where she's like, Gary, you come over here because this isn't me. She's mad at me because of you, Gary. So he comes over here to yell at Sydney. And he's like, hey, listen, the feeling I have for Sydney is different than the feelings I have for you. Putting it bluntly.
Yeah, I would never upset you to this level if this didn't mean anything. Please don't cry, Sydney.
And Sydney's like, I'm not crying. Like, I have no tears in my soul for either of you.
And Allie's like, but you're being so cold to me. She's like, why do I have to be happy towards you? Well, I'm not asking that of you. You literally said, but you're being so cold to me. That is an ask for you to be happy for me. And Sydney's like, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And she runs away. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm now suddenly on Sydney, the psychotic one side. Like, I have found myself fully on Team Sydney. I don't understand it whatsoever.
Well, for those of you who are like, well, Sydney's psycho, nothing's wrong with Allie, right? I just want you to know that even if you're not reading Allie's emotional cues, she's wearing a shirt that says snatched. So, I mean, not very subtle, that one, okay?
Yeah, I kind of, Allie was really rubbing me the wrong way these days. So now Allie and Gary start to hug, and he's like, hey, do you like me? Yeah, look at me. I mean, what more do we need, right? And she's like, I'm overwhelmed. I can't. I'm such a good person that I'm overwhelmed right now. I can't do this.
Yeah, so she walks off, and he's like, really? You're going to do me like that? Oh, my word, Gary. What have you done?
Yeah.
And then Sydney is doing this thing where... Oh,
I just want to say one thing before you talk about Sydney. Gary tells us, why did I hook up with Sydney in the first place? The first night we got drunk. It's stupid. And it's like, yes, it was stupid, but in his mind, it's stupid because it ruined his chance to hook up with someone else. Not that it was completely unprofessional and she works under you. Like, that's why it was stupid, Gary.
Yeah. So Sydney is doing that thing where you run off crying and then someone's supposed to follow you, but nobody follows her. So she's like wandering around kind of waiting for somebody to follow her and they don't. So then she wanders into like another corner, but then nobody chases her. And then she walks to another corner like, hello. Will someone at least pass me in the hall? Like, come on.
Yeah. It's like a ghost town around with her. She's like, I said, Anyone? Anyone?
So Gary follows Allie because, yeah, sorry, Sydney, he's following someone else. So he's like, come cuddle in me bed. And then they do. They go into his bedroom and Colin's like, I'll tell you one thing. You're not fucking up there. She's like, oh, I've had enough action for one night. Yeah, well, it reminds me of the night I first met my girlfriend. You know, we were just so and you're both snoring already. All right, then.
Wow,
I'll,
did you
I'll
just
save that for another day.
Did you throw a blanket on my face? Okay. And she goes, I'm mushed against the wall. I was like, okay, well, great, great romantic start for your first night of a
welcome to the rest of your life with Gary. Okay.
Exactly. So now it's in the morning and everyone's waking up and they're hungover and Natasha's stomach feels bad and we see JL sneaking out of the master and, you know, there's some go into his room and Danny's wearing a shirt, all this silly stuff. And Sydney is talking to Daisy about last night and saying how Gary and Allie kept going at her and trying to get her approval for what they're doing. And Daisy's like, well, they shouldn't have done that. It was pretty obvious you're okay. I mean, look at you. You look fine the way you're huddled there in the corner crying into your knees. You're fine.
You're the picture of okay. Even the mascara coming down your face spells out okay, kind of, if you look at it in cursive.
Yeah, well, in old Celtic, it spells okay, sort of.
Are you okay, Sydney? She's like, what? She goes, are you okay? I'm asking if you're okay, Sydney. She's like, oh my God, I don't have to tell this girl how I'm feeling, and I don't know how many times I have to tell you, leave me alone.
Well, in fairness, that is kind of Gary karma coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Sydney, I mean, she's saying leave me alone when actually, yeah, all season long, she's been the queen of cock blocking Gary. So now guess what? It's windy. It's a windy day in Croatia and they got to get out of that. They got to get out of that slip because it's too windy. So they get on out of there. And then Danny comes back into the girl's room and everything. And there's just like chatter. It's very much like tell me more, you know, except below deck. Sailing yacht version.
Let's talk about boys. What happened in the master bedroom?
Danny doesn't remember much of last night, and Danny's just talking about So Danny's just saying, as much as Gary tried, I'm still the most successful one here. Allie, JL, I mean, nobody's angry at me. Write it down, Gary. Learn some lessons.
Yeah. And Allie's telling Daisy,
he tried to kiss me. And I'm like, but she's right there, Gary. She's right there.
And Daisy's like, he's 32 years of age. Grow up. There's someone's feelings here we've got to worry about.
I love her saying, I love how when she breaks into sort of old-fashioned talk.
He's 32 years of age. Like, okay, pull Austin up your big boy pants.
So then we get some Daisy backstory. This is a very backstory-heavy episode, which I approve of. Daisy's like, have I ever fought over a guy? I sure have. When I was in school, my best friend fooled around with my guy, and I found it over messages. And then they put this picture of Daisy on the screen. She's pouting, and she's wearing a top hat. I was like, are we supposed to believe this is the day she was upset? Like, poor Daisy, alone in a college bar, wearing a top hat, being stood up and finding out over texts.
It was a terrible day. I had gone now to an Enya concert, and it closed early because there had been an electrocution in the audience. And I came back, and there was my boyfriend, sleeping with my best friend at university. I've never been able to trust again.
That shit bothers me so much just because he wants to get his fucking dick sucked. All right. Nellie's like, I've changed my mind. I don't want anything to do with any of this. Hey, do you like this t-shirt I'm going to wear today? It says, stolen, stupid. Ha.
Yeah, see, I think this is what drives me nuts, is that Allie is about as dishonest with her feelings as Sydney is, right? Because Sydney was trying to be cool, but she clearly liked Gary. And now Allie's like, yeah, that totally turns me off. I'm not into it at all. And then the rest of the episode is her just like making out with Gary hardcore. So
well, she just tells everybody what they want to hear. Right. Yeah. She's always telling Daisy, I'm not even into Gary. I'm totally going to get rid of Gary, you know, just so Daisy will stop ranting and raving and showing her pictures of herself padding in a top hat.
Yeah. It was Liza Minnelli Day, and it was supposed to be the best day in university.
I know I could have kept that man if I just had a flower on my vest that squirted out water on you if you looked at it square.
But unfortunately, I put in some Guinness and it was a terrible, terrible mistake.
Colin,
every Irish thing I can think of.
Colin is joking about Natasha not being able to make sunny side up eggs. So he does it for everybody. He makes like 12 eggs sunny side up. And then Danny's on deck, and poor Sydney. I mean, Sydney says I'm not crying when she's sobbing. And then she walks around. Nobody will follow her. And then all the rest of the day, everyone keeps going, "You okay, Sydney?" It's like, "Ooh, I'm fine."
I know. So then Gary goes up to Danny and he's like, "Oh, nice shirt. You're glowing. What happened last night?" "I had sex."
So then Natasha's like, "I still don't understand what these two beautiful women see in that man. No real man would put a woman in a position to fight over him. He is more cub than lion. Rah."
So
I really liked her. I guess that was her cub noise.
Yeah.
Instead of a lion.
Rah! Rah! So, what an appropriate day for Sydney and Gary that they wind up now heading over to Split, Croatia. And they go on to another yacht, the Polaris, where they're going to have their day off. It's, you know, crew day. So they go and there's appetizers and they're just all excited. I mean, I don't know how it feels to be a yacht crew that on your day off, you just go to another yacht. Maybe it's really... like
you go to like ownership. The poor person yacht, right? They like sent them over to a pirate ship. Yeah.
It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Tom Hanks is like tied up in the, you know, in the basement. So Daisy's like, "I'm very excited. You know, there's roses, there's snacks." It's like, yeah, bless her heart. So the guys are jumping off the boat and
backflips off the edge. Never seen that before.
And then Allie and Gary take some time to make out in the water and stuff, and or no, make out in front of everybody.
Yeah, no.
And then like, we just show
two couples are just sitting there making out. They're like sitting side by side making out, and everyone else is just sitting there watching them.
And we get wacky music for it. It's like boom, 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 boom. And we get to watch Sydney trying not to act mad, but as the make out sessions go and go, she's like eating her lips off of her face, you know?
Yeah. And so, and they're all like, Natasha's like, "This is disgusting. Like, fuck off." So then JL goes, "Should we go on a paddleboard?" And then Allie, who is all about, "I just want to be respectful. You know, I'm over it. This is gross." She goes, "What do they call it? A double date?" I'm like, okay, you're into this. Stop.
So Gary and... So they go to do their thing, right? Yeah. And then Colin's like, "Did you just vomit in your mouth?" And Daisy's like, "A little." And Sydney just goes, "Fucking clowns."
"Oh, the PDA is a lot for me. I'll openly say that. I haven't been around PDA like that for 15 years.
"Well, it feels so wonderful to be free about how I feel and be vulnerable because, backstory alert, in the past I was in a relationship that was really challenging. This person I was with was selling drugs secretly behind my back, and I ended up being convicted for something I'd never done because there was drugs in my car. And the police asked, 'Will someone take responsibility?' And he just stood there."
Like, wow.
I know. Like, "And then I was in jail with Claire Danes, and then we had to use the embassy to get us." Like, no, now you're just talking Broke Down Palace. Below deck backstories always take a turn, I feel like. There's usually like one or two people, like Rob on Below Deck Med, who's like, "Oh, well, I'm a model, but before that, I used to run drugs to the border for drug dealers."
I was like, "Was your boyfriend Rob?" Because this show is very incestuous, you know?
Maybe it was. She's a narcissist.
Wow.
So here's a tip, Allie, to make sure you don't date people who are secretly drug dealers. Don't date people who look like they might be secretly drug dealers. Case in point, Gary. If there's anyone who is, if you said, by the way, Gary's actually secretly dealing drugs, I'd be like, yes, I see him. I look at his face. I can tell. I can hear his voice.
So Danny and JL are flirting in their awkward way. I mean, they're really, their awkwardness is off the chart for me. They're laying down, pretending that they're feeling like really comfortable and in love. That beach is rocks. And it's not just little rocks. It's gigantic rocks that they're laying on.
I don't care about the rocks that they got. That's still Danny from the yacht.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Danny's like, well, we are definitely starting to be more serious now. I start feeling the feelings going on. No.
No.
I don't care if he was fat before. That doesn't make him less of a fuckboy. It makes him more of a fuckboy.
Yeah, he wants to get all the punani that he wasn't able to get before. Plus, also, we don't even have to go that far. Okay, exhibit A, his back, the tattoos. That alone, like, you, enough, go away. Danny, you could do better. You could do better.
Yeah, but she's got the Lindsay disease where she feels like she's about to die. She's like, I'm so old, so old.
I know.
At like 30. So then Sydney and Daisy and Natasha are talking, and Sydney's like, I mean, I love Danny, but she could do way better. I mean, look at us, you guys. We're the only ones who can hold a conversation without, like, having a shit show around. Oh, no, you don't get to put yourself in that conversation just because you're not, like, all over someone today, ma'am.
Well, she can do more push-ups than all of us. She is sort of the most fit person on the boat, and... You know, on Bravo right now.
I am the most fit, and I am hotter than her, so. Yeah,
so she can say these things. And then we cut to Glenn on the boat, and this is what he's doing. This is life on the boat when no one's around. He's just in the crew mess, and he goes, oh, there's a little cashew party going on.
And then cut to Gary pretending to deep throat a squirmy. What do you call those things? A noodle.
A noodle.
A pool noodle, yeah. Yeah. So Colin, back to the Colin group, Colin's like, so maybe it's Eddie's system and you don't have to make out all night. Oh, no, because this is Allie and those guys coming back to the boat. He's like, so now it's Eddie's system. You don't have to make out all night.
Mm-hmm. And Sydney says, okay, if you could change one thing about our charter season, what would it be? So Danny,
and I'm not starting this at all so that I can tell everybody that I fucked Gary, okay? This is just a random game that has nothing to do with me trying to drop information to ruin Gary's life. Okay, continue.
This is where I get really embarrassed to actually be on Team Sydney. It's, you know, it's not a great team to be on right now. So Danny said, well, I would change the engineer, which I was like, wow, poor Colin.
She doesn't even use his name in this exchange. It's like she's not like, I would change Colin. She's like, I would change the engineer, you know, that guy who's always trying to talk about something.
And then Sydney says, you know, the decisions I make, I never have regrets on. I may make different decisions in the future, but the one thing my mom said to me was, don't have sex on the boat. And literally the first chance I had, I blew that one. Play on words. Also, did I say that out loud? Oh, whoops. Whoops. You guys all know.
So Colin's like, you did have sex. And Colin's just like rubbing his hands together, so happy. And Daisy goes, wait, what? Ellie's going to be so mad. They're salt slurs.
I have to find a top hat. So that's why she can wear it when I break the news.
Getting her a bright yellow shirt and a top hat to take this news. Hopefully someone's got the Polaroid there.
Does anyone have a cane? A cane or some tap shoes?
So Colin goes, I mean, well, you're just going to tell Gary to do the dishes. And then Sydney goes, okay, wait, I'm not done yet, okay? Can I just say one thing that never leaves this group? I really shouldn't say it. I shouldn't. And Colin's like cheering in the corner. Do it. She goes, well, I have literally been told not to offer help to you guys, Daisy. So literally I was told that. So.
And Colin is cracking up. He's like, now we got drama. And then I write down, because you see Daisy's face, and I write down, Daisy is fuming. And then Colin goes, she's fuming. Then she's like, I'm fuming.
Colin literally cheering the whole time. It's so funny.
And so then he goes, oh, I shouldn't have said anything.
And then meanwhile, Gary is sitting with Allie off on some bench, and he's like, hey, there's a pillow. You want to put it behind your bed? Behind your head? And she's like, all right, then. He goes, oh, yeah, all women should be treated like queens. Yeah. You put a pillow behind her head on a rented boat.
with that touch for hospitality, I'm surprised he's not in the interior. Yeah. And so, and I also, by the way, I love how Allie is framing this as just her exploring her vulnerability. You know, like she's just finally letting herself be free and vulnerable. Like there's nothing about this says anything about vulnerability. You literally have your head rested up on a pillow next to a wall and this Lord Farquhar type is breathing heavily on you with his nicotine breath.
Normally, I think, is this pillow full of drugs? But I'm trusting it because I'm vulnerable.
And Daisy's like, oh my God, when I say I'm fuming, my broad's fucking biling.
Who has the top hat? Who has the top hat? I need it right now.
So now it's time to change for dinner. And Gary goes, Daisy, you were saying who you would change? You would change me. You would change me, right? And she's like, you know what? I'm sick of being made out to be the bitch of the group just because I'm trying to pull off a successful charity. So fuck off.
And then it cuts back to Glenn on the phone with a friend. He goes, you know, I had a dream last night that someone... He goes, I had a dream last night that someone gave me a donkey, which is like the most Glenn dream.
So the girls are getting ready and they're talking about like, you've got good abs. Oh my God, I wish I had good abs. And then Sydney goes, stop it. Everyone on this boat is crazy, but we're hot. Okay. And Allie's like, I'm not crazy. I mean, you guys are just crazy antagonists and I'm just the victim and everything. And everyone groans at her. And Sydney goes, oh yeah, yeah. It's like when you think you're not the asshole on the boat, but you're the asshole on the boat. And like now, like you think you're not the crazy one on the boat, then you're probably the crazy one on the boat.
And Allie's like, what are you trying to say, Sydney? And she's like, well, exactly what I just said. We're all crazy.
And Colin's over there like, go Ricky, go Ricky, go Ricky.
He's like, but it was aimed at you. And so, Allie's all mad. But you know, see, this is where Allie sort of drives me nuts because I feel like we're seeing her true colors. I mean, Sydney just says a generic thing like, don't worry, we may all be crazy, but we're hot. And Allie's like, I'm not crazy. Like, she's the one that's like, I'm not crazy. I'm the victim. She literally says, I'm the victim. And you think maybe she's joking, but then you realize she really feels this way. It's like, Allie, you have to get over yourself.
Yeah, you're not the victim here, lady. So Daisy's like, she's calling us all crazy, Ollie. And Sydney's like, yeah. And Colin's like, it was you. It was totally aimed at you. Hit her. Hit her. Go hit her.
Ollie, well, Allie forced that. Allie forced that, though, because Sydney was saying a general comment, and then Allie made herself the exception. So then that opened the door for Sydney to say a passive-aggressive comment, right? So, but now Allie's all mad, right? So now Daisy pulls Allie and they go upstairs and she's like, I don't like Sydney's company anymore. I really liked her up to 2 days ago when I started to make out with the guy that she was infatuated with. And now I really don't like being, I don't really like being fucking around here anymore.
Yeah. And Sydney, back with Sydney, she's like, oh my God, shouldn't have said anything, but I did. That was for you, Colin. And everyone's cracking up that they pissed everybody off. Yeah. So Allie has reached her peak. She's not going to take it anymore. So now they get ready. Okay. So well, then she passes by Gary, who's shirtless, and just like kind of pats his back, like,
touching you, but
not in a loving way.
I have to say, while Allie is still venting to Daisy before they're getting ready about the situation, she's like, she's going to try to sit there and degrade me in front of the whole group. I'm not going to have it. I'm so fucking over it. I'm not going to be caring about her feelings anymore. She can fuck off. I've reached my peak. You haven't been caring about her feelings for at least 2 or 3 days, if not for a few weeks. Like, I don't believe this. I don't believe any of what she was doing was sincere. And now, so I believe all of that was for this moment where she could act like she was the good one, the nice one, the considerate one all this time, and waiting for that moment.
I mean, I think that you're right, but just to play Sydney's advocate here, you know, or to play Allie's advocate, I don't think that Sydney has the right to just come on the boat and be like, he's mine. He's mine. No. That's it. I picked the hot one. He's mine. You know, I got him first. And, you know, now nobody, because Sydney's kind of playing the victim too. Like she puts her, they're both putting themselves in this victim position, but they're also the only people who really care. So, well, like, no. everyone else is left to deal with it, but no one really cares. It's like you're both idiots for fucking Gary in the first place.
You know, I think that, I don't think that Sydney has any right to any sort of claim, although she definitely has a right to have confused emotions based on the fact that her boss slept with her the first night. But what I just don't like is what I feel is that Allie is actually being pretty inconsistent. Like, she knows that Sydney is feeling a certain sort of way. And I know at a certain point, you know, you can't worry about what everyone thinks all the time. But at the same time, if you're going to start acting like, but she's my friend and I care about her emotions, but then you make out right in front of her, and then she gets mad because it is obnoxious, and then you're mad that she's mad at you because of what you did, and then you say, that's it, I've been the nice person. It's like, you actually weren't really the nice person. You were saying you were the nice person. So that's, I mean, we all agree that Sydney's been little crazy about this, you know? She has, not a little, a lot, you know? But that's, I'm putting that to the side. That's a separate issue for me. This is just more like, I think that Allie is saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah. So then we go over to Jean-Luc and Danielle with their awkward flirting. He's like, well, the master is occupied tonight. Hey, boner, how you doing? Yeah.
This is this new thing. Oh, I can't stand up right now. You're going to have to walk in front of me. I can't stand up right now. Got a boner.
So Daisy is like, look at my boobs. They look great. Because she's wearing a push-up bra. And he goes, yeah, they do look really great. It's like, they only cost 10 grand.
Yeah. And Gary says, well, they almost look real. She goes, oh, yes. My boobs are like your personality. So there you go. And everyone's like, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Everyone laughs. There's a big laugh. Everyone's like, ha, ha, ha. Like another boat comes by and people are pointing fingers at Gary.
So it's dinner time. And I know you must have loved the guys not even bothering to put on a shirt for dinner. I know you loved it.
Well, at least they weren't in public necessarily. So, but I did notice. I was like, great. The girls all dressed up and made themselves look nice. And Colin is, you know, a shade away from wearing a saber-toothed tiger like around his body at this point.
So then Sydney's like, okay, everybody, another real fun Sydney game. Let's see where this one leads. She's like the Lisa Rinna of this group.
Yes.
She's like, so what's your hope for the next two charters, everyone? And Allie's like, I'm sick of the arguments. I just hope there's now my argument.
And JL sitting next to Allie. So the way the table set up is, because it's important, is you have JL and Allie at one end, and then you have Sydney with the other girls at the other end. But the table is, you know, normal six-person sized dinner table, you know? So JL sort of like leans into Allie and goes, so how are you doing? And she's like, you know, it's hard because I wind up getting digs thrown at me, and then I'm always going to be the villain because, you know, I have a connection with someone that Sydney likes, so I'm always going to be the villain. And it's like, yes, she is being passive aggressive to you, which is not cool at all. She is 100% being passive aggressive, but you're also so good at playing the victim when you've had a very active role in this situation here.
So she's like, I'm so sick of the arguments. I hope there's no more friction, like digs being thrown at me. It's like, you're doing it as loudly as possible so Sydney will hear it, right?
Which is
so
passive aggressive.
Sydney's like, oh my God, why do I have to listen to someone talk shit about me at the table? And Daisy's advice that she never follows is just let it go, because the more you don't react, the quicker it's going to get dropped.
Why didn't you send me the butter I asked for 5 minutes ago? Is it because I'm the interior? Why don't you respect me? Sorry, what was I saying about reacting?
So then Gary and Ali just start making out. And Natasha's like, here we go again. Fuck me.
At the table. There's making out at the table. It's like, why are you guys doing this? Especially in this fraught situation, you know?
So we get back to the boat, and then we just see what Glenn's been doing.
There have been signs of intelligent life from the extraterrestrial forces of spaceship aliens.
It's like, yeah, cashew party.
Wouldn't that be crazy if the aliens came and they brought us cashews and donkeys? So there's just sort of like general chatter and activity on the boat, and Colin's telling Gary not to be a puss because everyone wants to hang out as a crew. He's basically saying don't go off and just make out and stuff. So, but Gary's in his feelings. He's like, well, I don't know if I want to hang out because Jay-Z trashed me. I mean, like what she said before, like that was a dig. That was a deep dig. It's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty funny, but it was a deep dig. Okay, gather your feelings,
then,
Gary.
Colin is like, listen, he goes into the girls' room and feels their bed. And he's like, look, you've got half a meter in this bed. Why don't you guys sleep in here? And Daisy's like, Colin, stop stirring the shit just because you're having a problem with your roomie. Actually, we all spoke about it. The four of you make us all uncomfortable. All of us said it. All of us said it. We're all uncomfortable.
So, which I guess is that the does that count as the as not reacting to some things? I don't know. So then Glenn pops up. He's like, "Oh my god, these guys are party animals. I don't know how they keep it going, and I don't want to know. Let me tell you, I just care about extraterrestrials, cashews, and donkeys. That's all I want to know about."
So Colin goes to Sydney and he's like, well, you have a new roommate. And she, you have a new roommate. He's like, no, you literally do. And she's like, in my cabin? I'm not comfortable with that. And then Gary's telling Allie, well, why don't we just room in your room? And she's like,
oh, my room, you're joking.
Yeah. And then back to Sydney and Colin, she's just getting really annoyed. She's like, well, I'm just going to sleep in the galley, I'm not going to allow that. And he's like, I'm just joking. You got Colin.
So let's see, Allie and, Gary, he's like, should we see how the guest cabins are? And she says, you already know because you slept there already, remember? And he's like, I don't want to remember that. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't want to remember that night where I kissed Sydney and then we just slept in bed together alone in the wake of a single kiss.
So then another romantic conversation with Jean-Luc and Danny. She's like, are you 24, 25? She's so obsessed. She's so obsessed with his age. Oh my god, yeah. This cannot work. So she's like, I've always been in relationships ever since I was 16. And he's like, well, you know what? Like, I haven't had a serious relationship because, like, when I was heavy, women, like, didn't look at me. And back then, my standards were as high as they are now. So it was rough. It was rough. And then we get his backstory.
Yeah, which is that he was heavy. And then he lost weight, and now he's lost weight, so he's getting more attention from women, and he's like excited to explore things with Danny, but you know, he's afraid of love too, which is that's fuckboy language for this is not gonna last very long because I now look better and I want to have sex with everything, so enjoy this now while it lasts. Also, to people who are always in a relationship, never trust them then when they say, oh, I'm just going to have a little fun. Because if they were just having a little fun, they wouldn't always be going into relationships. So always know that. If I had known that ahead of time, I would have been like, Danny. I said it anyway. I would have been like, Danny, you're going to be in a relationship. But I think we said that. I think we saw that anyway, right?
What, that she's not going to be in a relationship?
No, that she is. That she's going to fall for JL. She's like, oh, it's just a little fun. And we're like,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
No, be careful.
Yeah. I think if this show has taught us anything, it's that. Yeah. So Danny is, they go into the room to bone. And she's like, why is there a beer here? She goes, oh, yeah, we did sleep here. Oh, my God, whose rings are those? And he's like, well, they're Allie's. I mean, I guess she definitely did do something with those fingers.
So it's the next morning, and everyone's waking up. And JL walks in on Glenn while he's pooping in the bathroom. And there's some problem with something enough that Colin has to ultimately have to
go get some drain on blocker.
Yeah, there's a blocked air handlers. Okay.
Yeah, I need to get a drain on blocker. So Allie and Daisy are talking in their room. How is Allie a victim today? Let's find out, guys. So Allie's like, you know, I've been doing my head in, thinking about all the drama, and I've just been involved in so much. And Daisy's like, you know, and now you know the fact that she's saying the two of them had sex. You know that, right? Oh, whoops, you hadn't heard that. And Allie's like, in front of everyone, she said that. This changes everything.
This changes everything. From now on, I'm going to have to pretend like I care about that on top of everything else when I make out with Gary in front of Sydney.
Well, don't say anything, because it's going to cause drama. And the more you react, the more drama it's going to cause. Before you know it, I'm going to have a top hat on a bar stool. Just don't do it.
And Allie says,
I would never let it get to this point. That is, if I understood the gravity of the situation, I thought it was one kiss on the first night, so I didn't understand her tears and her being upset and being a generally psychotic person and think like, wow, a little monster we have on board, who would actually ever want to hook up with this raging bitch? But now I understand it, and now I feel like the biggest asshole on the planet.
So, guys, time for a preference sheet meeting. So, we've got three primaries. Erica Rose, Cindy Rose, Julia Rose, just a bunch of Rose ladies. This lady says she started as a TV star, but then she started her own law firm.
So, who's that now? Is that Erica Rose?
Now, is it? Yes. Now, did this ping on your Crappin's radar at all? Because it pinged on mine.
It says Bachelor.
Well, she was on The Bachelor, but in terms of the Crappin's universe...
She was a friend of,
I don't think she was a full cast, but she was on Married to Medicine Houston, and her mom, Cindy Rose, was the crazy lady who loved silhouettes.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so this is going to be a crazy charter when it eventually happens, because I don't know how many people watched Married to Medicine Houston, which we actually really liked, but this woman, Cindy Rose, is crazy. She sort of has Linda Thompson energy mixed with crazy, I guess, which is sort of Linda Thompson.
Oh my gosh. Well, here we go. So there's going to be eight of them. And Natasha's like, these girls are full on divas. Where there's too much women, there's obviously drama.
And their names are, it's going to be a difficult charter. Because here are the people who are coming on board. Myra, Mandy, Keely, Bianca, Jennifer. I'm like, okay, just sink the ship. I was like, you're on the right path with this episode. Just let it go right into the dock and get on board and just start new careers.
They want a mermaids, mariners, and pirates dinner. And on day three, they want a local secluded pickup beach picnic. And that evening, women's empowerment dinner.
With individual
mini gluten-free cakes.
Gluten-free mini cakes, individual for dessert. There is nothing empowering about that. I'm sorry. There is literally nothing empowering about mini gluten-free mini cakes.
We're okay. Here for restrictive empowerment.
Oh my goodness. I'm actually so excited for this charter. And who would have thought? Who would have thought, you know, here I was waiting for Cindy Barshop. I mean, I'm pretty sure Cindy Barshop showing up. I'm pretty sure I saw her in the trailer. Maybe I just
she might have gotten Colin.
Yeah. Maybe I just like projected her face onto someone. I just saw her, but it really wasn't.
Or they just shot it and they're like, that was too boring. This is basically Colin telling a girlfriend story. Let's just cut it. So 25 naughty knots, kids. 25 naughty knots, okay? Those vendors do nothing on the side, so let's bring them up front, okay? And if we have an emergency, you know, those vendors might save the day, kids.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, they don't. We watch those fenders go down every single episode of every Below Deck, and now it's finally time for the fenders to rise to action. And what do? They just sort of squish up and go under the boat. Like, thanks a lot, Fender.
Thanks, Fenders. Uh-oh, guys, it's really windy, and we're going too far to starboard!
I hate being in the middle of all this drama of all the starboard. I mean, if I had known we'd be going starboard, I never would have hooked up with Gary.
No, Allie, stop. This isn't about you. The boat's going starboard.
Glenn Ross. They really need a Ross right now, because you can't have a Glenn Gary. I mean, where's the Ross?
We really... Can someone find Ross from Below Deck Season 6 or wherever it was? Get him on board. So
we might need to start the engine. Crashing.
So everyone's running around. And Sydney is heaving giant fenders over her shoulder.
Don't put your hands on the bowl, kids.
I love that JL is so dumb that they have to tell JL, don't put your hand in between the boat and the dock.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. They're like, oh, no, it's rubbing against the dock. Oh, no. No, that was actually just Gary. That wasn't the boat.
Yeah, Gary's just trying to get some action now from inanimate objects.
We need a generator online. Everyone aboard, kids. Let's get this off the dock.
Now, I know I have a tendency lately to compare everything to Jurassic Park. I can't help it for some reason, but this really was very Jurassic Park-y. This was very much Laura Dern going to the generator because it was Gary in this dark room. And he's like looking at the buttons and I'm just waiting for a velociraptor to crash right through the side of that yacht wall, because it was literally that scene.
Yeah, Gary's just staring at all these blinking lights like, and basically they're fucked, right? The wind is blowing, then they're crashing into the dock, their generators aren't coming on, so it's a dead boat now. It's a dead boat.
They have no power. I'm assuming that maybe the boat was recharging while it was at the dock, so maybe when they had to pull the power off, it didn't really have enough power, and so they had to get the generators up, they had to look out for dinosaurs, they had to go forward and go really fast and get back to safety, and on top of everything else, Colin's missing because he had to go to Radio Shack to pick up whatever it was he was doing. So So for the first time all season, where's Colin? Someone find Colin.
What I wouldn't give to hear one of his stories about his girlfriend.
But Colin is nowhere to be found, and we're crashing. But then Gary gets both Jennies online.
Yeah.
And but they're still dragging anchor.
I just realized that Jenny was slang for generator. I was like, what's a Jenny? Oh,
it's a generator.
So, yeah, they're dragging anchor. It's actually all very exciting. I was a little tense during this. And Gary now has to hop at the tender and just, like, race around the boat to make sure everything's okay, which means that it's up to Sydney and, you know, dumb fuck JL to make sure everything goes well. So Colin's racing back on a boat, and Gary's on a tender masturbating and also looking at the yacht. And everything, the anchors are going into the pocket, and it's just a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, and then the ropes start flinging off, and they're like, oh my God, JL! Okay, JL, just pretend this is some fettuccine at break time, and just, like, take too long to get it done. Do not hurt your hands there, JL! And then Gary saved the day, basically. He gets the generators back online, and they did crash, but it's not that bad. And I was like, wait a second, why is this episode still going? It was supposed to end right before they actually crashed, because the next week we have to find out what happens. But you know what that means, don't you? Even a bigger disaster looms.
A bigger crash. Yeah, because they've been showing all season long this, like, one big crash with a dock basically just crumbles, and that's like that's their money shot at the season. And so I was like, where's the money shot? I was like, this is actually a really good episode, because we get two crashes, and like the first crash was like already really intense. Like the first crash, I was like, whoo, that's good. Well, what a great episode. I'm about to turn it off, and there's still 10 minutes left. Wait, does that mean there's another? How do they even get to another crash? They're in the middle of the, they went away from the dock. How are they going back to a dock during crashing time? You know, like the boat is crash prone at the moment.
Yeah, so everyone's patting each other on the back because they got through that, and they're all patting Gary on the back, and Glenn has PTSD, and then we get a Sydney and Gary scene where she's like, am I on nights again? He's like, yes, I can't trust Jean-Luc again. And she says, yeah, I mean, he's already salty with you. He goes, you're the one who's salty with me, blah, blah, blah. She goes, no, yeah. I'm not. He goes, oh, so you're just sassy? She goes, look, I think you're a fine boss. I mean, I've had worse.
So then Danny and Allie are cleaning the master suite and talking about how JL needs to sleep in the master bed because he's tall. It's really a really uninteresting conversation. I thought it was gonna get more gossipy, but it didn't. So now they're, you know, things are going well, and you know, it's like they averted disaster. There couldn't possibly be another boat crash today. There's, I mean, how many boat crashes can you really have? And I mean, We've gone this far on so many seasons of Below Deck, and there are like no crashes. So surely there couldn't be two in one episode. So just cleaning. Daisy's checking in on Allie, seeing how her anxiety is.
I still feel horrible. I just can't believe I did that to her. I don't care that he hooked up just that I didn't know, and I'm just so upset.
And Daisy's like, she's crying over the situation that he chose you over her, and that's what's wrong with her, okay? This is all Gary's fault, by the way. Get my top hat.
So then the wind is coming on strong. Dun 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 dun. Bring out those violins.
Windy. Hey, it's windy. Let's go dock this boat during this windstorm because it worked out so well last time. So they're docking, and then they take away all the music, which is like classic horror movie move, right? When something really bad's gonna happen, there's not even any music. So we have a split screen of the crew in the back, and we have Glenn at his like little perch, and he's just like doing something, and everything, you just know something bad's gonna happen, and it's just like calm and quiet. And then all of a sudden Glenn's like, fuck me, what's going on? What's going on with this cashew party's gotten out of control.
No one's given me a donkey. We're screwed. And there they go. Crash. They crash
slow
into
down,
the
slow
dock.
Down, slow down, slow down, slow down. And then, yeah, it crashed. Full crash.
And big that's that. Crash. Fuck me. God damn it. God damn it.
God damn it.
All the captains at the same time are like,
they all just say, God damn it.
Sandy just stands at the edge going, do your food. I believe in you.
I'm going to have to call Norma about this one.
This might be a bad time to try and figure out which wind we are.
So that was a very thrilling conclusion. A thrilling double crash episode featuring a love triangle. I mean, could you ask for anything more?
Well, that brings us to the end of Below Deck Sailing Yacht, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And again, go check out Top Chef as our bonus episode this week. We'll be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York. Hit it, boys. And if you didn't hear our premiere, if you didn't see our premiere recap that we did live and you want to check that out, where we talked about that and the big shot, and then we did like a 45-minute Q&A afterwards, go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens because that replay is available until Thursday, and then it's gone forever. So go check that out.
All right, everybody. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
We're a fan of Michael Land.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.